news you need from the Dirty Birds.
Did he hit the pylon? He did. Touchdown Atlanta.
The best the Falcons have to offer right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You shall not pass.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Happy Friday, everybody. We hope that you are ready and good to go for whatever is going to transpire. Maybe it's nothing. We hope that's the case. But if it's something, we hope that you are prepared. Either way, we are back at you on Monday, so we'll be keeping you updated throughout the weekend as well.
Are you above or below the line?
That's really the question. And here's the thing. Nobody can really tell me what that line is and how far it's going to come down. Now, I know that the city now is under, you know, a watch for ICE and all of that, but they have to do that, Mike, because, again, if it does happen the way that maybe it's expected, we were warned and everybody, you know, needed to take the proper precautions.
Right.
If they didn't do that and everybody says, what the hell? Nobody said anything. So they're trying to do the right things. I'm talking about all the weather folks. And by the way, big shout out to all the weather people in town.
Yes.
Our people at the Weather Channel.
Especially the sexy ones.
Is there somebody specifically you're talking about?
What?
Thanks to all the hard work you guys are doing. And look, these weekends and the lead up to this, it's a lot of work put in. So,
is Jim Cantore going to get upset if we don't get the big storm?
He always does. He's in New York. And I was like, oh.
Don't tell me it's not thunder snow.
he always is.
Gets so crestfallen. Don't tell me that I am in the eye of the hurricane. He gets so angry.
Yeah, man. With that said, look, we want to examine one part of something that our guest came on from Cleveland. And Aditi Kinkabala is someone that covers the NFL. She covers the Browns. She's the Browns' preseason sideline host, but she covers the league. She works for CBS. And she came on earlier in the show, and if you're just tuning in, part of this journey that Mike and I have been on is to inform you more on what Kevin Stefanski is.
And inform ourselves, if we're honest, right?
Absolutely. Because he's not been here. He hadn't coached a game. We don't know his style and how he goes about things. So, look, I talked to a lot of people around the league, and the bottom line is that most people around the league have a completely different view of whatever it is that you think Kevin Stefanski is. Part of this problem, Mike, is, and this is nothing that we can dispel, is your record is your record. Wherever Raw goes next, okay, part of the discussion is going to be, well, look what he did in Atlanta, and his record's the record, despite what you might think of him. So that is something that we have no control over. But what we do have control over is, what kind of person are we getting? How does he handle people? Do people respect him? What is the situation? How he handles situations? One of the biggest situations we've been talking about recently over the last few days is his handling of Shedeur Sanders. And, Mike, there's this huge misconception that somehow Kevin Stefanski tried to sabotage, you know, his career by not getting it off the ground, by not helping him in the proper ways that he should have. And it's just wrong.
Right. I mean, if this was any other fifth-round quarterback on a team with 5 wins, nobody would be spending a minute on it. But because it's Deion Sanders' son, Shedeur, and there was so much hype, and then there was that unexpected, amazing fall from grace all the way down to the fifth, and then people who don't know, and guys, and if I'm quite honest, Carl, people who should know better, like Cam Newton, to throw that out there, knowing what a locker room is about and the relationship between coaches and players. And Kevin Stefanski has been just taking body blow after body blow nationally from people who have no idea what went on in that locker room.
So this part of the interview, we just want to play it for you, and we'll examine it a little bit. And then again, we'll play the full thing for you because it's very insightful. Here's what Aditi said in regards to Stefanski's handling of Shedeur Sanders.
Okay, so this past season, once again, I had a wonderful opportunity to be around the Browns a lot during training camp and in the preseason in my role as the preseason sideline reporter. The Browns very famously drafted 2 quarterbacks this past year, one of whom is one of the biggest celebrities this league has seen and has one of the biggest fan followings this league has seen since perhaps Tim Tebow. Kevin Stefanski came up with a very specific development plan for both of his rookie quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, and he tailored them to each of them. It wasn't just, okay, here's a plan for the rookies. It's okay. This is how we best help Dylan Gabriel. This is how we best help Shedeur Sanders. He devoted extra individual practice time every Friday and every Monday to the rookies that weren't playing. When Shedeur Sanders early in the season wasn't dressing, wasn't getting a jersey, he was getting individual one-on-one coaching time every Friday and every Monday after practice. Once he became the starter, Kevin Stefanski, even though he wasn't calling the plays, was making time for one-on-one meetings with his starting quarterback multiple times a week, as many times a week as Shedeur Sanders was in there. It is so obvious in all 13 of these quarterbacks that I've seen Kevin Stefanski with that he's got a great intentionality in calling plays to make a quarterback comfortable. So what I mean by that is if you've got a quarterback who doesn't like to throw explosives early, if he's the type of guy that wants to gain a little confidence underneath him, let's get some quick completions, let's get into a rhythm quickly, that's what Kevin's going to call.
She's talking about explosives down the field. She's talking about short intermediate passes. And basically, you know, hey, I got to get a guy warmed up, or I can come out the box with a guy like Matthew Stafford and say, hey, we're going deep the first few plays if I'm Sean McVay. What she's saying is he cultivates these schemes based on how his quarterback wants to go about it. But I think, Mike, the most important part about that soundbite was he took time out to help and try to develop Shedeur behind the scenes, and he was doing the same thing for Dylan. But you know why? Because it's in the best interest for him to potentially win if these guys are going to be playing for
right.
him.
So the idea that somehow, again, it's lazy journalism. It's not even journalism. It's just hot takes about how he's going to approach Michael Penix Jr. Now, we got a guy, you know, there are some things which we didn't like with Zach Robinson, the over-reliance on him in shotgun, a.k.a. the pistol. How much of that is going to be him under center? Is that going to be something he's going to mandate or work with him to get it more into his game? But to your point, what you just talked about, things that you and I used to scream at the TV about or at the stadium. How about like one of those designed rollouts with Penix, a little bootleg, a quick throw to Mike to Kyle Pitts from Mike to get him ahead of the chains or get short yardage. Now it's second and two. And now we're moving.
That's right.
And that's what she's talking about. So playing to your strengths. It's common sense. It's just tough when you got a whole team which isn't very good, and which a lot of the problem was up. And by the way, we'll get into this later in the hour, but if you've noticed, guys, nobody has signed with Cleveland, and people keep taking themselves out of consideration for the Cleveland job. Coinkadink?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot there, and there's again, various reasons for that. We asked her that question as well, and she gave us her interpretation of it because – look, nobody's going to come out and say such and such is an idiot, okay? Especially when you work for the organization. But there are enough people around the NFL who know such and such may be an idiot. And whether that applies to the owner or whether that applies to the folks who are running the front office. Either way, I want you to hear this part, too. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our interview with Aditi Kinkabala from Cleveland. She actually lives in Pittsburgh, but she covers the Browns and works for CBS as well. One of the things Kevin did, and this is not known, and it wouldn't be unless you're in coaching circles in the National Football League, but these are the things that kind of go unspoken, Mike. The Browns, he helped start the Browns. It's called the Bill Willis Coaching Fellowship Program. For Bill Willis, for helping minority coaches, offensive coaches, in the league. And it helped. There are guys who already have gotten jobs from this, and she just commented on this to talk about Kevin understands the importance of these kinds of things. This is what you're getting.
Another thing I'll tell you about, Kevin, is that before the league made it mandatory to create opportunities for minority offensive coaches, he helped start such a coaching fellowship with the Browns. And I can actually name the Patriots quarterback coach. You'll see him this week, Ashton Grant. The very first coaching job that he had in the NFL was under this fellowship that Kevin Stefanski started. Israel Wilfork, who was with the Cardinals last year, who just interviewed for an offensive coordinator job, I believe, in Washington. He also, his first coaching job was under that fellowship.
Wow.
So I don't, you haven't met him yet, right? He hasn't had his introductory press conference,
no.
But I would really exhort you to kind of have an open mind to see who he is.
So as we said, you know, I didn't like the hire. A lot of Falcon fans are still lukewarm to it, I understand it.
Absolutely.
But as we said here, I mean, but if we're going to talk about a guy that hasn't coached a minute in this town yet, let's at least base what happened up there on facts, not on rumors, not on innuendo, not on guys playing, you know, headlines, just ridiculous hot takes. I mean, and look, the worst thing you can be called in any walk of life, sports, your office, you think that guy's a racist. And that's what's been implied, that somehow the way that he treated you, as you said, to sabotage the career, and guys are running with that. And it's jive, and then people pick up on it. It's intellectually lazy. At least do your research, as Dimitrov used to say. And that's why we're trying to give you folks who covered the coach up in Cleveland to at least get some background. And today, Aditi gave us some great stuff.
404-726-0929. Want to judge people for who they are, and then we see if they can win or not. Right. And that's what this is about. But I'm not going to, as I tell you all the time, Mike, and we talk about this, like, I'm not going to have these preconceived notions. I didn't for Raw. I understand how you felt, and so many people who said this is not compelling.
Right.
Still want to give him a chance. And I knew who he was. I don't know who this guy is, but I'm not going to go as far as saying he's this, that, or the other. And we'll learn about what kind of football coach he's going to be. But let's not set ourselves up to say, oh, he's this way, and therefore I'm not going to support it, or I think he's this, that, or the other, when you really don't know. What's up, O?
To your point about Cleveland being dysfunctional, I'm going to add this. In this whole coaching cycle, there's a rule that you have to meet with certain minority candidates to fulfill the Rooney Rule requirement.
Okay.
Cleveland wants to hire a head coach. They have not interviewed or been Rooney compliant yet. So all these guys are getting hired right now, and they are so far back in the coaching process right now. And they can't even hire the guys they want because they haven't even done the minimum of what they're supposed to do in trying to fulfill the requirements to fill the job.
That's almost hard to believe, right, with all these guys getting interviewed.
That's organizational, right?
It is. That's interesting. Again, and when Mike says you have three viable candidates that have basically said, take my name off the list, Mike McDaniel, and the reason why this is interesting is because he says, I'm not interested. Take my name off. Then he takes the job, at least verbally, Mike, with the Chargers, and he goes, I'll be your OC.
He goes, Jim, you mind if I take this meeting, by the way, with another team, not named Cleveland?
And then he's like, the Bills just called.
Right.
I'll go talk to them.